Ian Trottier here. Phoenix, Turning Point USA, and I have Mickey Klan with me. And folks, she is going to enlighten you in regards to your... Well, I'm going to let her run with it. We're going to then segue to David Giglio.
Giglio. It's all right. You got it. Giglio.
It sounds Italian.
It is Italian.
Okay. And he's running for Congress. And we have Lee Dundas sitting here on the side as a consultant, a legal analyst consultant. So, Mickey, what's going on with bonds?
Yeah. So, one of the unknown tricks and techniques that we have as civil citizens is the fact that every single public servant, as in elected public servant, has to be bonded. But that means is that they have a personal liability to uphold their oath to represent the Constitution of the United States of America and of their state, and oftentimes of their own code of conduct wherever they work. They are required to be bonded. Now, what does this mean? It means that if they are in violation of their duties, we as civil citizens can file a complaint against their bond company. So I'll give an example. There's a superintendent in Illinois. We are going after her tomorrow. She's been enforcing mask mandates on schools. One of the parents went and pulled her bond from the front office, and we found out that this superintendent is bonded for $4 million. We now have 10 active parents that are going to file a claim against this superintendent, which means that this superintendent is looking at $40 million in potential liability. Now, the woman that we're working with, the mother, has a 16-year-old son who has autism. And he's been hospitalized because of the masks. It's caused him to become physically violent against himself. And so there are physical damages associated with masks in this 16-year-old young man. And so the mother has pulled the bond, and she is simply going to go and file a complaint against this man. She's going to tell him, initially, she's going to say, if you don't back down and pull the mask mandates, and this could be vaccine mandates, this could be mask mandates, whatever it is your case, she's going to have him pull the mask mandates and admit that he was wrong and admit to the public what happened to her son. And he must resign within 47 hours or else they will file these bond claims. The bond company has to respond. So what we've done is we've started a website called Bonds for the Win, B-O-N-D-S, forthewin.com. And if you want to file a claim against any public official, you can fill out our contact us form and we will help you pull the files. We will help you write the complaints. We will help you pull the bonds on each of these civil servants. So
Who holds the bonds?
Everyone holds bonds. So literally it could be school boards. Anybody who has been an elected public official, they work for us. There are pharmacists that have to have bonds. There are lawyers that have to have bonds. Governors, mayors, anybody that is outside of the lines of the law right now has to be bonded. So if we are being threatened, our own job and our own livelihood, we have to turn that right back on them and threaten their job and their livelihood because they are personally responsible for these claims. Their own homes, their jobs, their cars, this is all collateral against their bond claims. So if I'm a pharmacist and I start a company, you have to think of it from their side. If I'm a pharmacist, I start my own company. I have to get a $5 million bond and I have to spend $50,000 to get that bond. And if someone files a claim against a bond, I am personally liable. They all know this. They know this is why if you go and you threaten it, they will respond. Any pharmacy that's not currently actively giving out prescriptions that are being prescribed by doctors for things like ivermectin are in violation of their own oath. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Lee, what are some comments you have?
I think it's a novel approach. And as you well know, I'm a huge fan of novel approaches. I mean, what we've seen during these tyrannical times is that the three legislative, executive, and judicial branches of government that were set up by our founding fathers to act as a series of checks and balances so we would never find ourselves in tyranny like we are now, have largely failed us. And at that point in time, you really need to start coloring outside the lines. You need to start saying, how can I get where I need to go if the courts aren't going to help me get there, if the legislative branch isn't going to help me get there? So what Mickey is talking about is a very novel concept, but it revolves down to brass tacks and dollars and cents. And the fact of the matter is, as she mentioned, lots of people who hold public office need to post a bond or have a bond in order to be in that office. They usually put up, I don't know, what is it, 5-10% of the bond. And the rest, you know, they pledge a bunch of their physical assets, their tangible assets, as collateral so that if they get a claim and it doesn't go their way, that's the stuff that's on the line. And right now what we're seeing is all these elected officials, these little school board guys and, you know, these little county board of supervisor folk are just sitting up there like, la-ti-da, we don't have to hear from our public, turn their microphone off, we don't even need to let them in the building because COVID. And they're not being responsive to their constituents. This is a very novel way to make them be responsible to their constituents. And I just want to say one more thing on that. You know, she's talking about somebody, I didn't even know about this case in Illinois, where they've got these mandates and this autistic kid is becoming self-violent to the point of harm that, you know, is necessitating hospital, you know, interference. But that's not the only downside of a mask mandate. We had Savannah Lay, I think I talked to you about her, Ian. Savannah Lay, 16-year-old, playing basketball up in Oregon. Her mom said, take the mask off. It's dangerous to play in the mask and have all your little friends do it too because there's strength in numbers. Well, she didn't. And the very next day, after the mom gave her this warning, she gets a call, the mom does, from the school, and she's thinking, oh, that's great. They're going to call and tell me my daughter, like, fought back and was disobedient. And instead, the school was calling to say your kid basically died. She couldn't breathe. She said to her coach, she can't get a deep breath in the middle of basketball practice. And the coach said, yeah, you can't take off the mask. And then he relented and he goes, well, you can go in the locker room and take it off there for 1 minute. Where she passed out cold on the tile floor, but her teammate found her 2.5 minutes later. She had no heartbeat, no pulse, no respiration. Her teammate literally lifted her face up to the mirror. Girl couldn't fog a mirror. She was clinically dead. 7.5 minutes then ensued with every damn coach who had been too busy, you know, Heil Hitlering and goose-stepping his way along with Governor Kate Brown's orders. All of a sudden, they're on their damn knees trying to revive her with everything, you know, that they had in their little CPR bag of tricks, to no avail. Now it's been almost 10 minutes. Passing cop with a Narcan unit, which is what they use to revive guys who've gone down on heroin, hits her with the Narcan unit, brings her back briefly. She crashes again in the back of the bus on the way to ER. Finally, they get her back finally for good in ER. They save her life. ER surgeon walks out 10 hours later or something and goes, I'd like to tell you there was nothing wrong with your daughter other than she was playing basketball in a mask and went hypoxic. And one of the side effects of hypoxia is cardiac standstill, i.e. death if your cardiac unit's not working. So these mask mandates, everybody, all these parents going along with the flow, thinking, oh, you know, it might be a fiction. I don't really believe in it, but no harm, no foul. We'll do it to make the other person comfortable. Let me tell you something. A, this is a fiction that can turn fatal, and B, you are your child's voice. How dare you bring a child into this universe and not hold the line and not fight their corner for them? In the eyes of the law and just as a common sense point, these children are not fully formed adults. It is incumbent on you to protect them. So if you have a mask mandate that is causing little kids in your district to pass out, I was at the thing with you. We were two times ago at Clay Clark stage, and one of the ladies from New York goes, yeah, they just went back in session in my daughter's public school in New York. They had the ambulances out there for the whole week. EMTs out there with oxygen tanks reviving kids who were passing out because it's so darn hot and humid in New York in September when the kids go back to school. I'm like, really? Really? This is what we're doing? So I say, go for it. Go file against their bonds, file these claims against their bonds, make them undergo an investigation. They're not doing a service to their constituents. They're not upholding their oath, which is, you know, to like actually uphold the Constitution, which says we shouldn't have to have a face diaper on and you can't go force me to wear something. If you had forced me to wear a burqa a year and a half ago, oh my gosh, the, you know what, goat rope that would have been. But now it's like, oh yeah, I can force you to wear whatever you want, this little face diaper on your face, and I can force you to get a shot. Excuse me, no, you can't. This is America, and we need to hold the damn line, and I think this is a powerful arrow in the quiver of the ways you can fight back. It's a powerful tool in the toolbox, and we should be doing it more.
David Giglio.
Giglio, yeah.
Giglio. David Giglio. What are your comments in regards to this?
Well, I think it's
as a candidate for California Senate.
So, Congress. So
Congress.
I think it's more important than ever that we have to start electing individuals that understand, you know, it's not proper to sacrifice our liberties for temporary security. And in this case, when the temporary security isn't even really providing security. So we have to start getting people to understand that this isn't going to be a one-time deal. Once they realize that they can force something on us under the guise of, hey, this is for your own good, this is how it starts, and this is, you know, once you give up a right, you never get it back. And we have to value, you know, one of the great things about America is you have a personal choice over your own personal liberty, and we cannot sacrifice that. And we have to elect individuals that understand that personal liberty, personal freedom is important, and it's inherent to this country. And so this is a pivotal time in our country. There's a lot of people that now believe that the government should be the end-all, say-all, and that it's their job to decide what's in your best interest. But that's not what our nation was founded upon. And we really have to push back against this narrative because, you know, the science that they're using, science isn't science if you can't question it. And I think right now, the scariest part about this is that they're not willing to allow people to come forward with alternative facts, alternative data, and alternative science. And even, you know, well-respected physicians, doctors, nurses are pushing back with some data, and they're being labeled as crazy people. And their, you know, their livelihoods and their licenses are being threatened, and that's not how this should go. You know, there has to be an open debate, and people have a right to ask questions. I mean, that's what our country's founded upon, the ability to question things and to push back against the government. So right now we have an overreaching government on a lot, all levels, state, local, federal, and we need people to start understanding that this is a time where we have to push back, we have to really vet candidates, and we have to elect people that understand and really appreciate what makes America so special, and that's keeping our liberty and our rights intact. You know, look at what's going on in Europe and Australia, and those places, the government's basically forcing people into submission, and now they're finally starting to protest, but they've lost a lot of their liberties. I mean, Second Amendment, right? In Australia and in a lot of countries in Europe, not allowed to have a gun, and they're very limited at how they can push back against their government. So, you know, nobody wants to resort to violence, but the problem is we just have to make sure that people are allowed to question things and ask questions. You should not ever be made out to be a crazy person simply because you're speaking up and asking a valid question. If masks work, why are cases still rising? New York is one of the highest is the highest vaccinated state in the country, and they're experiencing the rapid growth in cases right now, and they've been doing vaccine passports and masks, some of the strictest lockdowns. So it's natural that people want to get answers, and I think we have to get elected officials that are willing to listen.
And
I think the easy way to fight back is with bonds. Like I said, there are pharmacists, doctors, nurses. You've got anyone who has a government contract, any employee that's enforcing vaccine mandates on anybody. You should look into them. Lawyers have to be bonded in certain states. It is slightly different. Various statutes and various rules and regulations around how they need to hold that bond and where that bond is filed. But I think we just need to get out on top of this, and we need to use our duty to stand up against tyranny.
Yeah, and one of the unfortunate things is that, you know, there's a lot of people that get exempted from these mandates. For instance, you know, members of Congress don't have to actually abide by the vaccine mandate. So they're willing to push it on other people, but they themselves are not willing to enforce the mandate on their own body of elected officials. And then in California right now, our governor just instituted the mask mandate again. And San Francisco is exempt from it because, quote unquote, they were good boys and they put in a lot of hard work during the pandemic, so they don't get the mask mandate. And that does.
But they've got to be vaccinated.
But that's not science. So I mean, just because you worked hard to fight the virus, doesn't mean, you know, you were a good little boy, so you don't have to wear a mask. That's not how science works. So, you know, we really have to come up with anything we can do to fight back and push back and get people to listen. And unfortunately, money talks to a lot of people. So when their livelihoods and their you know, they're on the line, they're going to listen more. So right now they're not afraid of us, but we need to push back, so they are. And people just have to stand up and not be afraid to be silenced. That's one of the reasons I decided to run for Congress, because they want people not to stand up, and we need people now more than ever to keep fighting.
Lee, you have some thoughts here?
Well, you know, I just wanted to tag on. I don't know if you guys saw that Harvard study. It was Harvard researchers, European Journal of Epidemiology picked it up. But just to piggyback on what my friend from California here was saying, you know, 68 countries they reviewed and almost 3,000 counties. And they were looking for some sort of a correlation that showed the COVID vaccination caused a decrease in the incidence of COVID. And not only did they not find what they were going looking for, all they did find was a positive correlation between the 5 most vaccinated countries and the 5 highest countries with the highest incidence of COVID. So not a shock
to
a
lot. And lowest gun ownership.
Well, and going back to that point, you know, I'm the grandkid of Eastern European immigrants who fled. They left Eastern Europe because the red terror cells were coming for them. And they said over and over growing up, they said, you don't fight tanks with a pitchfork, not if you want to win. And this is an amazing country. this country is very different from all of the countries that they knew and all of the other countries they had read about, because we have a First Amendment and a Second Amendment. But, you know, I think a lot of people are under the misguided notion that those amendments are meant to protect us from each other. Like, I have a right to have a different opinion from you, from you, from you. The First Amendment, in the main, exists to give us the right to criticize our government when they are out of line. And the Second Amendment, I'm pretty darn sure, not that I talked to the Founding Fathers, but my great-great-great-great-great-great-grandpa was Patrick Henry, also exists because they knew that one day a tyrannical regime might once again try to get a stronghold here in America. And they knew that that was a lot less likely to happen if you had a Second Amendment. If you go interview, I think she's still alive. She's like the old, one of the oldest ladies who survived the Holocaust. And she's out there. She was like in Switzerland or whatever country it was where they had guns. She's like, yeah, Hitler didn't come to my country. Yeah, they were the only one in Europe that had guns. And it sets us apart. You know, my friend from California is absolutely right. It sets us apart from Australia. It sets us apart from the Saskatchewan Canadian territories, where right now in Australia, in these countries, we are training their military to go after their own people in urban warfare settings and drag these people out of the bush by their feet and force vaccinate and force detain them. They actually deported 38 people in Australia 2 weeks ago over Thanksgiving to Howard Springs quarantine facility. Not just COVID positive patients, close contacts. There's a woman named Haley. She's like a 26-year-old girl. She's like, I tested negative 3 times. They put me in like a cell, like a not even a jail cell, but like solo isolation, where she'd get like her food dropped off one time a day. This is what is actively going on right now in the rest of the world. Slovenia, you're unvaccinated, you don't get gas or petrol. You can't drive your car. Another Eastern European country, you can't go into a store. You can't have a repairman to your house. You can't go to the library. You can't go anywhere. We are actively right now in many parts of the world reenacting the beginning of the Holocaust. And don't tell me, oh, well, how dare you analogize this to the Holocaust. I'm sorry, I'm Romani. My people were in the Holocaust, the ones who didn't get out. It was the Romani Holocaust, less well-known than the Jewish Holocaust. But whether or not you're a descendant of the Holocaust, you have a right to put two and two together and go, you don't want to compare apples to pears. What Hitler did at the end is not the salient point. It's how did he start? And how he started the Holocaust was not by baking human beings in ovens. It was by saying, we're going to take a passport and make you have to flash it every time you leave this little detainment camp. And we are actively doing that in first world countries, Australia, Canada, and we will be here too if we don't hold the line.
We have to hold the line. I believe Bonds is a linchpin. So many of us don't want to stand up against friends and family right now, but with this, it's just paperwork. It's just got to get out of your comfort zone, file the paperwork, do your homework, do your research. Come to the site. We will help you every step of the way. I will hire an entire team to help people find and file bond claims at this point in time. I don't care how many examples we have to make. We will get them to stand down.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
amen.
And like, I want to echo that point. Yeah, we need to be resilient. We need to push back. And one of the things, you know, the left is so good at is the Democrats are always very well organized, and they mobilize on a very large scale, and they're very united. And conservatives tend to sit back a lot and not unite and not push back in one group. And we have to get away from that, because that's how the Democrats are really winning. They're willing to push as hard and as far as they can go, and we have to unite and be able to push back just as hard, because they don't like it when they face competition. You know, when you play their games against them, they don't like it anymore.
And we're doing it. That's what these events are great for, is we bring all of the people who care about freedom together. And, you know, it's Margaret Mead all over again. Never doubt a small group of concerned citizens can change the world, because indeed they are the only ones who ever did. And we're going to get there. We always do. That's why the human race still exists. But it goes a lot easier if we get in the game and get off our couch. So do what Mickey said. Try this bond thing. Go vote good people in, like my friend here running in California. And do your part. We each have a part. That's why we're here.
One of my favorite quotes from JFK Sr. was that we can all make a difference and we should all try. And it's that simple.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you. And in this case, ask how you can...
Exactly.
Reclaim
your company.
Yeah, fight to protect our rights, because once you lose them, they never come back. Once you give the government a power, you never get that back. I mean, they told us the income tax was temporary, and look at that.
Yep. Look where we are today.
Ladies and gentlemen, and folks, Lee, Mickey, and
Gabe.
David, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Pleasure.